one of the challenges of growing up is to learn how to become independent. Independence is one of those things that we try to teach teenagers, learn how to balance their checkbooks and things like that, independence. But that challenge is also coupled with another challenge and balanced by it. And that is, that challenge is to learn interdependence. Never forget that we have to be independent and at the same time interdependent. That they go together, there's a balance involved. For our own safety and well-being, we have to live out that interdependence and realize that we need to look to others for help in certain situations and getting along in life. That's our interdependence. Well, the Bible illustrates this in the need for leadership. And one of the elements of interdependence is our need for leadership. And the Bible illustrates it with the term the sheep and the shepherd. And it's interesting because the concept we get from pastor is from the Latin word for shepherd. It means a shepherd of sheep, an actual sheep, not necessarily just a... And sometimes they have a pastoral symphony. That pastoral symphony is not about the church minister. It's about the pasture, and about sheep grazing on the mountainside and so on. Well, our faith is also has this balance of independence and interdependence. It's personal as well as a corporate faith. And God has given us His plan for individuals, for our personal life, in the context of the body of believers, in the context of the church of interdependence. And so God did not mean for Christians to be Lone Ranger Christians. In other words, I'm just out on my own, get on my horse, and there I go. That's not how He intended. He said, I will build my church. I will bring the body together. And so we need this. That's why I've entitled this message, the idea that we need the help of other Christians to get along in our Christian life. I've entitled it, Being Equipped to Live Out Our Faith. And how that happens is through pastoral leadership and other kinds of leaders. God uses pastoral leaders to help us to keep moving along in the Christian faith, moving along and moving forward in Christ. So this passage that's starting out in verse 18 is very shocking in our society, in our day of thinking the way it sounds. I'll just read it again. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. How do we respond to leadership? How is our response to leadership help edify or to equip us and build us up in the faith? Well, first of all, Jesus is called in this same passage that great shepherd of sheep. He is the pastor, we have to say. He's the pastor, the shepherd of the congregation. And pastors, as I said before, are only under shepherds. They're under the great shepherd. And He's the one that really tends the flock, and He uses under-shepherds, like myself and other pastors and other leaders, like Terry. And the principle of this idea of obey your leaders, it sounds like, whoa, that sounds like pretty much authoritarian form. But what it really means, the word obey, if you look it up and you try to find that same word again and again throughout Scripture in the New Testament, it's talking about being persuaded. And it also carries the connotation of listening and trusting. But it means to be persuaded. And a good Christian leader or a good Christian pastor tries to persuade the flock to follow the good shepherd. That's basically my intention, is to get people to follow the shepherd, to follow the good shepherd the shepherd of the sheep. And a good sermon is really a persuasive speech. That's what it basically is. I don't know if you took speech in college or high school or what, but in those speech classes, we always had to have a persuasive speech. You had to convince somebody of changing their position and going along with the position that you were talking about, a persuasive speech. Well, the persuasive speech of a sermon is to try to persuade you to obey the truth and to follow the Lord in practicing Christian faith. That is basic for a sermon should be. Well, listening to leaders is more than just gathering up knowledge and hearing their message, although that obedience, that word listening, is in that word obey. But listening is more than that. It means to heed. To heed. Not just to hear, but to heed it. And to take it seriously, to obey the truth that has been taught from the Word of God. Well, the concept in this passage is obey your leaders and submit to them, submit to their authority. Well, the concept of submitting to a leadership assumes that the leaders do have authority, or they do have, as what this word basically means is authority or power. They do have a certain standing. We look at the idea of police officers. Now, we may not like the police officer how they are, but we obey them, and we submit to the authority that they stand for. It's like they are enforcing the law, even though they may have a bad personality. And I've often said, when people have complained about their ministers, or they have complained about this or that minister, and I said, well, have you recognized, as you sit under them, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's not coming in his own name. He's coming to you in the name of the Lord. And Jesus said something very interesting about that. He said, you will not see me until the day you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I've often used that as an application, but it's not exactly what he's talking about. But by application, when a person says, well, I can't get anything out of that minister, have you said in your heart, when the minister stands up to preach, have you said in your heart, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? Jesus has given you a promise. When you say that, you will see him. That's interesting. And we need to do that. We need to have that listening. Well, police officers may have that personality, but we obey them because of their position. They have that authority is partially due to the position they have. And the authority within a minister, I've heard of ministers who actually haven't even believed in the power of healing. But someone said, well, I called you to this house because I want you to lay hands on me and anoint me with oil and pray for me. Well, I don't do that. Well, could you do it for me? I mean, I read in the scriptures, could you do it for me? Well, I don't necessarily pray for healing, but I guess I'll do it. And he prays and the person gets healed. Now, that's interesting. It was because of their position. They represented in their position the power and the authority of the Lord. And that's one thing. But it's even more so when that person is living a committed personal relationship with the Lord. Then there's no blocks or obstacles for those things to that power and that authority to flow through that person's life. So that's a thing I'm going to come back to as we approach the idea of prayer for your ministers. Well, submit means to stand under. That's what the word submit means, is to stand under. And there are blessings to be received from pastoral leadership under the ministry of a godly leader. And the teaching of a pastor can bring spiritual enlightenment. If you're open to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, that pastor's teaching can actually bring spiritual enlightenment to areas that are just not quite enlightened in your life. That happens to me so many times. By listening to just a tape, it doesn't have to necessarily be a person from a pulpit. I could be listening to a tape and all of a sudden it clicks. What they said opens up a whole new vista, a whole new way of looking at the world and looking at life. I get a lot of that out of reading devotionals. And I have to say, E. Stanley Jones is one of those guys that does that for me many times. The prayer of a pastor can be a channel of God's healing. Not always is it, but it can be a channel of God's authority and power to heal. Jesus said that he healed many people there because the presence of the power of the Lord was present to heal. And pray for me that I'll be sensitive to that time of power. There may be a time I say, You know what? I feel like we should have a prayer meeting in our church service, and I'm praying for healing. If that happens, then you guys come forward and with your aches and pains, and you might, I might have you lay hands on my knee to pray for me too. The counsel of a pastor, many times, can be a means that God uses to give guidance. God's guidance. It comes from the pastor, or it comes through the pastor, and he may be referring to the Word to try to give you guidance on something. Well, pastoral ministry can be a joy, as it says. It should be a joy when a flock is persuaded to follow Jesus. But it can also be a burden, or a burdensome work, when the believers do not see the ministry of a leader. There's no happier minister, I think. There can be no happier minister than one who sees his gift and his talents and skills and his knowledge being used to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for doing God's service. I think that's the happiest thing a minister can have happen. And no congregation is more fulfilled than when they can be under and submit and be under that ministry and receive those, that teaching or that counsel or that prayer, and receive the fruit of a pastor's ministry or a pastoral leader's ministry when it is under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because the anointing of the Holy Spirit is the means and the way that the teaching and the counsel and the prayer can all be energized and work. Well, in keeping moving forward, we have to submit to leadership. And I have to say, I learned so much from others. I learned so much from others. And many of the things I share, they may sometimes just be something that came on my own, but many of the times I have sit under others' teaching. And again, I say, like C.S. Lewis is a teacher to me, even though he's dead, and Stanley Jones is dead, and Oswald Chambers, my utmost very highest, is dead, and yet I sit under their ministry when I read their literature, and it just blesses my heart, and I keep moving forward in Christ. Well, how do we need to pray for our leaders? This is a question that is asked, or something that's talked about in the verses 18 and 19. And basically, this leader comes right out and says, pray for us. Evidently, they were the writer of Hebrews had others with him, like, I have Terry that's assisting me in doing this pastoral ministry. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Prayer is so important that leaders pray for people, but for the people to pray for leadership. Leaders are just as human and as vulnerable to the trials of life as those they lead. They may have spiritual authority and power in their life, and a sincere spirituality where they have a close relationship with God. In fact, this leader says, we are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. That is what Terry and I pray to have. But as part of the church, they are a part of the church, and as part of the church, they are not independent. Leadership is always interdependent on the body of Christ. We need to ask, pray for us. And that's what Terry and I both say, pray for us. And there's a specific nature of this prayer. And the prayer request in verse 19 was, I specifically urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Now, a leader who is a true leader feels a burden that needs to be discharged, a burden of a sort of a weight upon their heart, to a calling that must be discharged that God has given. And this epistle to Hebrews was evidence that this author wanted to continue the calling and the burden he had for the people that he's writing to, even in his absence. And that's why we have the epistle to the Hebrews. It was something he was doing at a distance. He wanted to continue that ministry. It was a burden on his heart. He was a true leader. Now, health problems, home problems, unproductive habit problems, in my case and also in Terry's case, bivocational work problems sometimes for me, especially on the weekends, can be a challenge to that kind of calling, a calling in our lives anyway, especially. There's still only 24 hours in everybody's day, you know, and one of the ministers that, well, missionary, I stayed with a missionary sometime before Rosemary and I were married. We were up in taking classes, we were staying in a missionary's home, and he would get me out and he would help me do exercises. I've got to do exercise or I can't get around. I said, okay, well, I'll work with you. And we went jogging and stuff. But he also had stuff to do around the house. He said, and he looked at me and said, you know, ministry is not just preaching and visiting people. It's also doing the normal living of life. And that's what we face a lot of times. I have to say, what we need prayer for is wisdom to keep a balanced life. And keep that balance. And that's a thing that you can pray for Terry and I both. But ministry cannot be done in a spiritual vacuum. It cannot be done in a spiritual vacuum. There was an article that I got, I think Terry got this article too, that was sent by the denomination. It was a copy of an article from Leadership Journal. And the title of it was in a good mess. I don't know if you've read this or not, Terry. How all too human men and preachers can prepare their souls to preach. How all too human ministers must have to prepare their souls to preach. We're just humans. And you know, and we need the bottom line prayer that for pastors is that they will be spiritual leaders. That they will have a spiritual walk with God that's intimate and close. So that they will hear from Him and communicate what they hear. That's important. That's for your benefit. That's so that they can do their work with joy, you know, and not be a burden. Because sometimes we don't have that, and it's coming up our turn to preach. And Terry's been there, and I've been there too. What am I going to preach? I need to hear from God, or I can't preach. You know, I can borrow somebody else's sermon who heard from God. But is that what God wants our congregation to hear? We need to have that kind of communication with the Lord. And I can speak for both Terry and myself, I believe, in saying that with the author of Hebrews, pray for us. Do pray for us. That is one of the obligations of interdependence that we have of a need for your prayer. And if it's God's intention, which it is God's intention, to use pastoral leaders to keep us moving forward in Christ, then we need prayer. Terry and I need prayer because we're extremely human people and we have extremely human lives. Well, this last portion is the benediction that we read from the front of the bulletin. It's 20 and 21. These two verses are beautiful. I'll read it again because it sets a beautiful, familiar benediction. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This should be the hope of every pastoral leader and their desire that their ministry be used to accomplish what this benediction is talking about. What this benediction does, it places the emphasis not on the human instrument, the pastor. It doesn't place the emphasis there. Earlier in the passage it says, obey your leaders, but here it's talking about what is the work, what is the real ministry, and that is the benediction. And it comes not from the leader's exaltation, but the Lord's exaltation. It talks about the work of God. It's motivated by peace. It's the God of peace. It's infused with the power of the cross and the resurrection, the two most powerful events in history and in our salvation. And it's coordinated under one great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what the focus of should be. And it also, this benediction also explains what the goal of pastoral exhortation is. When a sermon is given, or when we are exhorting the flock, to do a certain thing that is said in Scripture, what is really the goal of that? And what it says is that believers be fully equipped. And it says, with everything good. Everything. Paul often mentions preaching the whole counsel of God. Because that's everything good that we need. And it's not just a knowledge, not just hearing a message. It is actually the ability to put it into practice. That comes from God. That's why there is no benediction just from the message. There is no benediction just from the pulpit. It has to be the benediction of God. It has to be the blessing of God. Taking that truth and putting it into our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are totally dependent. And remember, kingdom tide, the green, is kingdom tide is set within Pentecost season. And it's the longest season of the Christian year because the greatest emphasis is our dependence for the Christian life and for Christian witness in carrying the kingdom to the world is the Holy Spirit, relying on the Holy Spirit. And the other thing that we're explaining, that it just explains, is that the fruit of a leader's ministry, that the fruit of what a leader is doing in his ministry will help God's people to do God's will. That's what the passage says, doing his will. It is almost like clearing the way in a person's life and preparing that person to do the will of God and for God to work. It says, work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. You see, because the sermon will not help you live the Christian life. It will clear the way. It will prepare the way. And it is the work of God in you that will bring about what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. We cannot look. The pulpit is central. But it is, and we need the preaching of the Word of God. But it is not the thing that will do it. It's not the thing that will get the job done. The job is done because it's the work of God. The work of God in us to bring about what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. And the effect, the overall effect of pastoral ministry, the hopeful effect that I think I really want to, and I know Terry does, is that our leadership among believers, among these believers here at this church, will bring glory not to ourselves, but glory forever and ever to our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the end of the benediction is. Glory forever and ever to Jesus Christ. Well, it's a bit humorous as this passage comes to a close, and as this book comes to a close. It's a bit humorous that the author in the last verses here, in verse 22, he said, "Brother, I urge you to bear with my exhortation, for I have written you only a short letter." You read that, and that is so funny. It's so funny. Notice he didn't start that as I have a short letter to write to you. He says this after the whole long 13 chapters, that are long chapters, many of them, about many, 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 many things. I've only written you a short letter. And I could say that that's about the same thing I have to say in preaching this long sermon series on Hebrews. You know when it began? 2005, in September of 2005. So it's about 2 years and 2 months in preaching this 30-second sermon. And so, yeah, it's been a short series on Hebrews. Well, I think it is shorter than some of those Puritan preachers. I saw a book of Hebrews on messages that was just thick. And there were 1,200 pages on the book of Hebrews. A short exposition. Well, God uses pastoral leadership to keep us moving forward in Christ and in our Christian walk with Christ. And that's the reason for the pulpit being central. It really is a central place. It's central, and in front of it is remembering the reason that we're even here, to remember me, to remember Christ, the communion table. And the pulpit, preaching the word, and the communion is that relationship we have with the cross of Jesus Christ. Well, it's central. this preaching thing is a central part of our meeting as Christians. And my continuing prayer, and I pray as we close this kingdom type season, we enter into Advent, which is the close of the Christian year and the beginning of the new Christian year. It is my prayer, it's a continuing prayer as well as from Terry, I'm sure, that this benediction that ends this whole thing, and this is the last word of the book of Hebrews, this is the benediction that I want for our congregation as a pastor. And I pray that my ministry, I want you to pray for my ministry to bring that about, and that is, grace be with you all. We live under that. It is by the grace of God. It is by the grace of God that church exists. It's by the grace of God you have the health to sit here. It is by the grace of God you have given us this word that gets us through all of life. It is by the grace of God that we are forgiven. And it is totally by grace that someday we're going to be rejoicing together in heaven, according to our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace. Father God, your grace be upon us all. We're so thankful, Lord, for the gifts you have given. This has not necessarily been a Thanksgiving message, but Lord, when we think about your grace and giving grace back to you, it's returning that grace. Lord, our thanksgiving will be resounded throughout eternity because we cannot thank you enough for what you have done. Lord, I pray for pastoral leadership, not just myself and Terry, but other pastors around this country. Many of them are under a lot of stress. Some of them have large churches with little help, and some of their work weeks are longer than Terry and I've worked put together with our ministry time. Lord, I pray that you would bless pastors and those that are underpaid, and some of them, that's all they live upon, is that the work of their ministry. I pray, Father God, that you give them courage to go on. Lord, there are so many, that the large majority of ministers are in churches and congregations that are small and not mega churches, and they need your help in keeping on, keeping on. But I pray, Father, for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit as well. We need your Holy Spirit to carry us through. Lord, I pray that your authority and your power might flow through me to this congregation, not just in word, but also in deed and in prayer, and just in presence, Father God. And visit the sick, and as we have different aspects of ministry here, Father God, just bless our congregation. May it continue to be a light here at every time. And Lord, again we pray, more and more to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.